for joining us for live paranormal radio. From the paranormal to the unexplained, it all happens here.
It all happens here.
Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in our live video chat 24/7 with our live paranormal radio show hosts and other like-minded people. Live. Paranormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by Full Interaction Media. Stop by now and join the fun.
Stop by now and join the fun.
Hello, everyone, and thank you for tuning in to Live Paranormal Spotlight Radio. My name is Nikki Paranormal, and I'm just one of the hosts this evening. The other one is Rob Zarek. I will go ahead and bring him in to the show now. Hello.
Hello, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good.
That's good.
I'm super excited for tonight's show.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
But I'm always super excited for every show, so I guess I should stop saying that, because I think I say that every show. I said that one time when I'm like, hey, I'm not that excited. It's going to be like, I try to be honest. So if I'm, if there's one time that I'm not excited about the show, I will say, hey, I'm kind of not excited. But
that will be a special day.
It will.
Unfortunately, yes, I do know that that's true. And I'm not looking forward to that day.
No.
Right.
Yeah, we have so-and-so on today, and I'll be like, I don't know. But anyway.
But that's not the case this evening.
No, I think tonight's
not
gonna
at
be
all.
A great
no.
show. And
I know it is.
I'm looking forward to the discussion.
I am, too. It should be... exciting. I'm definitely looking forward. I have actually interviewed our guests before, and looking forward to doing it again. But, you know, you're going to have some probably unique questions, because you are not that, I guess, if you would say, what would you say, acclimated would be the right word with all things Ouija?
Yeah, all things or anything, I guess.
Which I think that's why I think that your questions might actually be probably perhaps, you know, more what some of our viewers would, you know, want to know, because I know not everyone is into the Ouija board. I know there's a lot of people who have fallen into the stigma that has been given to the talking board or the spirit board. They call them all of these things due to, you know, movie hype and, you know, a little bit of information about the other side of it would be cool.
I really thought you were going to say your questions that are going to be dumb. So I'm much happier that you didn't say dumb, because I thought that's where you were going with it. And I appreciate the fact that you didn't go that direction.
No, I don't think that you, nor do I think that our listeners are dumb. I think that there's a lot of people aren't, comfortable using a Ouija board. And, you know, they, as I said, the stigma that movies and even the paranormal community has put on them, in many cases, I feel, is unfair and unjust.
You know, I was starting to come around to the idea. And then I had watched you do a Ouija board session with somebody who was completely manipulating it, in my opinion. And it threw me back. It took me back. And you were actually being, like, thrown around. Like, that's how hard this person was, I believe, self-manipulating it. But, yeah, I guess I don't have a good thing or a bad thing to say about it, because I've never tried it. I'm sure if I did it with you, my trust level with you is high. So I don't think you would be like, you know, you would be someone I would definitely try it with. So maybe. We'll see. One day.
Gotcha. Maybe.
And you know, I also am kind of like hard-headed. You know, I kind of like haven't done it yet.
You
so
don't
like,
say.
No, I do say. And, you know, the fact that I have not used the board yet is probably, I like to keep up that, you know, that just the whole thing of not using it. You know, it's like not giving in. And you never know. Maybe I'm sitting down
here
right
now. Or it's not opening it up. You need to open your mind and you need to open up the realm of possibility that it could be a very useful tool, as our guest this evening, as many of you will listen, has found it to be a very useful, you know, tool. And I personally feel the same way that she does. But she feels much more strongly about the good side of the board. And that's why I'm so excited to have her on this evening. And I think she may actually be in the call queue. Possibly. So would you like to introduce our guest? Well, and then I'll bring her on.
Why do you always put me on a spot like that?
Because
put me on a spot
live
like
radio.
I have to introduce.
This is live radio, and this is how it goes, everybody. Well,
I think you should introduce the guest. Throwing it back at you.
I'll do everything, and you can just sit back and relax.
Yes, I'm actually watching a football basketball game, too.
Wow, that's special.
Well,
without further ado, guys, because I don't want to leave her waiting, our guest tonight is Karen Dahlman, and she is a wonderfully amazing lady. Let me go ahead and bring her on. Hi, Karen, are you there?
Hi, Nikki. Yeah, I'm here. You know, we last spoke, it was about 4 years ago at WeejaCon.
It was, yes.
It was like April 2015.
And I was just telling everybody.
I think I was, yeah, and I met you there when we were getting ready. I think it was before WeejaCon started, but I remember being on one night during that, and then with you, and Rob,
yeah.
I met you there too as well at WeejaCon.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was fun.
It's been way too long.
I know. It's like a flashback to our past. So it's kind of cool.
It truly is. Definitely. I know we were just talking to our guests or filling our guests in on, you know, you see the bright side of the talking board. And, you know, whereas TV has given it many, many dark and negative stigmas, you know, I'm hoping that tonight will be an awakening for some people as to the other side of the board.
Yeah, you know, I think this is what I've found over the years using it and talking to a lot of people and working with a lot of people using this tool. It really becomes what you put into it and really what you want to get out of it.
Yeah.
And so it's a lot based upon our intentions, our projections, our fears, our desires. It just runs the gamut of human nature, basically. And so you will get a lot of different things out of the board, depending on who you are, where you're using it, who you're using it with, and just the frame of mind you're in, and many other things fall into it that influence it. But, yes, I would have to say that my view is more unique in that I found a way to use the tool to have really positive, uplifting, and eye-opening, just astonishing results with it. So that's really where I come from when I do talk about this tool.
Fantastic.
Well, I'll give you a little history on myself. Is I have never used a Ouija board. So I don't know if you were listening ahead of time, but I it's not that I have anything against it, or I never have. My sister used it while she was in high school, and I think she's more just for the thrill. And I can't tell you why I haven't used it. And I'm kind of coming around to the idea. It's not like a good or bad. It's just, I'm very stubborn, and I like the fact that I haven't used it yet. And I like telling people that. And then I think like, I won't have that anymore. And I think that's my biggest hang up at this point is just be like, I can't say that I've never used it anymore. And that's something I'm holding on to.
I think that's great. I mean, I don't think this tool calls to everybody. And if it doesn't, then you know what? Don't use it. That's what I say. But if it does call to you, you know, experiment with it and just think about how you bring yourself to the tool. That's really what it is. It's not a game. It's not a toy. And the board doesn't do anything. It's me. I do all the work. It's just that I use this as my excuse or my permission slip to access these unseen dimensions and the beings with whom I'm in communication with. And so it's just, I felt called to it. You could say that. It started at such a young age and it worked so well for me from the get go, probably because it was in the 70s. I was young. Nobody was telling me it was bad. It was just introduced to me from some friends and they made it very positive. And it just was amazing to me because of the responses I was already getting sitting down the tool and how quickly and easily it worked for me and the messages spelled. And it was, you know, even at that age, I was eight. The messages were very coherent and logical. And I was like, wow, this is pretty cool. So for me, I was pretty much hooked at an early age and wanted to explore it further. But that's not the way for everybody. You know, not everybody. And I know, Nikki, you do psychic stuff. You're a medium. You do all that stuff yourself. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people can do this. They don't need a tool like this. And so I say there's sometimes you don't, you just, it doesn't call to people. I like to work in different avenues myself, like the tarot cards and just automatic writing or just channeling directly. But this is just, I've been doing it such a long time, so it's probably my favorite tool. But it's a tool nonetheless. And so really only use it if you feel called to it. So, you know, Rob, I don't blame you. You don't really need to use it unless you just feel like you just got to try it, you know, then go for it.
I think I may, you know, and I'll be honest with you, this past 12 months, because I'm not sure exactly if it's been a year or not, I've tried a couple of things that I've never tried. Like I've never been a big fan of dowsing rods. And I'll be completely honest with you, like, we do an investigation at Nicole's work, and I do an investigation about once a month. I guess I kind of work there some aspect as well, and they use dowsing rods. And you know, I've never really bought into dowsing rods. I always thought they could be manipulated, you know, pretty easily. And then we got a hold of a pair that light up, and they're built, and there's just no possible way with the handles that they come with that you can manipulate them. And you know, I've been getting answers to my questions that I can't explain why I'm getting these answers, and so I guess I'm starting to open myself up to trying new things. And to me, I guess it's kind of the dowsing rods and doing a Ouija board are somewhat, in my opinion, similar, because, you know, it's something that I would have, just for the aspects of holding it or just the aspects of using me to channel through or however they do it to communicate. So I guess lately I've been, you know, we've done so many investigations, I mean thousands, and you know, trying something different at this point is almost like a necessity, because you know, how many times you say, hey, is there anybody here, you know, and they don't get a response,
right?
Or can you light up my device, or can you talk into this, you know? So it's to the point where I think I've done so many investigations that it's exciting to try something new, and saying that the dowsing rods are like a tool that I now will use, especially it's more just at one location. But, you know, I guess then that leads me down the road of saying I should probably try the Ouija board, because I've never tried dowsing rods and I was stubborn from that, you know, not doing that. And now we use them. So I guess maybe it's time.
That's very cool.
Dowsing
rods are really fascinating. I mean, it's a divination tool, you're right, and the board can be used that way as well as, you know, pendulum. So I actually like to use them all. I like all of them.
Right.
Of course, my favorite is the Ouija board. But.
That's awesome. I can't believe we just all witnessed that Rob is possibly opening himself up to the idea of using the board.
Wow.
I'm excited, actually. This is a groundbreaking.
Yeah, well, Nikki, you've been using the board, you said yourself. I did listen to your opening. You said you've been using the board.
Oh, yeah.
And you get good results, right?
I do. I don't get to use it as much as I think I probably should or want to. Because, you know, a lot of places have rules that they don't allow you to have them or use them, you know, on site. But I have used them here at home. I also have, you know, when my first Ouija board, I remember my mom and I went to the store before church and I got my Ouija board and naturally, you know, it was one of those things. I just got it and I was really excited and I was, you know, so I took my Ouija board to church. That didn't go over so well. That didn't go over when I brought it into the church. Because to me, it was awesome and it was new and I didn't know of it in the sense that, you know, the movie stigmas and, you know, the negative light that had been shed on the idea of the tool. And, you know, here I brought it into church and boy, did I get rushed out. And it didn't discourage me at all from using it. It just, you know, taught me the powerful lesson of not bringing it to church. But I didn't understand the magnitude of why people felt that way. I was like, that's so silly. But, you know, as years progressed, I understood why people had their views because I guess they were more open and honest with me. I mean, I was young. I want to say I was probably 7 or 8 years old when I took it to church, you know, and that was my first board. And ever since I've been collecting them, I'm sure I don't have quite a collection, probably anything like what you have or, you know, but I do have my collection of boards and I definitely have used it. I've had success. I've also had times when, as Rob was mentioning in the beginning of the show, that he witnessed, which, Rob, do you want to explain that one?
Okay, so I have no problem explaining it, but I'm not naming names or anything, but she did.
I did hear that part about you saw a session and you weren't kind of convinced that maybe somebody was manipulating. Yeah, I'd like to hear more. That's really interesting.
Oh, dear God. So imagine like two people doing it and one of the person completely manipulating with their hands that the other person is being thrown across like the table. Like
she was doing it
with a person. And if I say person, I'm not saying if it was a male or female, but imagine like I understand the concepts. You know, like I was at OuijaCon, you know, I understand. I haven't used it. It doesn't mean I haven't read up, but it's not that I don't understand how it's used. So when I was watching this unfold, there would be no way that you couldn't say that this person wasn't making it move to the letters they wanted it to move to. I mean, like, she was being like physically taken across the board because this person was moving it at their power.
Literally taking off under that person's hands and literally to the point where I fell off the planchette because it was being, you know, physically manipulated by the other individual, you know, which of course this was live on the platform we were on. It was on Live Paranormal, but I don't remember if it was on Facebook or if it was Ustream or wherever. But needless to say, I was incredibly disappointed at the situation. You know, it was awkward.
Yeah.
But you know, there's other times when I've used it, such as at the OuijaCon, where you know we were lucky enough to be able to participate in the study that they were doing there.
Right.
You know, so that was really cool. You know, that was something that was definitely unique and different. And I've used it, you know, in many different places and had success. But that particular experience was not a great one.
Yeah, you know, it's a shame if somebody even feels like they have to manipulate or push it because that just ruins the whole idea of even working and trying to tap into the unseen dimensions or what else exists beyond our common knowledge. So it's like why ruin that and why make something happen? Because
exactly.
It can. And I would think that a person must not have believed it would work. That's why she had to push it. Where it's like, for me, I know it'll work. And it doesn't work with everybody I sit down with, and I'm okay with that. But it doesn't work great with, let's say I sat down with Rob, it didn't work great at all. And I said, I'm thinking it worked fantastically. I'd be okay with both because it's just a matter of, it's just a combination of who you're working with and also how much time you sat together. So there's just so many things that come to play when you use this tool. It's like, it's okay for me that it doesn't work every time. If I work with a regular partner, like the one I currently work with, it works boom, every single time, just like that. And so when you find somebody like that, that's the person you tend to stick with, you know, because it's working well. But it's a process always, and so it's too bad somebody had to kind of ruin that process for you, and you know, that ruins it. That just ruins it. And it really ruins it for the tool when it really does work.
Well, and they were pushing the agenda. They had definitely had an agenda. They're like, should people buy my book? And then she goes, yes. What should they pay?
Okay, got it.
$19.95. Uh-huh. Like, wait, there certainly. What's my website address?
Yeah.
And they stole out his website address.
www.
Yeah, like,
right.
That's not real.
Exactly.
I mean, I don't think it was that bad, but that's my
interpretation. It was almost that bad, yeah.
Make it sound that bad.
Almost.
Where should,
well, I missed
where
this.
People
I didn't
go?
See this happen, but that's I'm kind of glad I didn't. But I would have been bored.
We're on the, it's probably on the top five videos of worst Ouija ever. If there's a video for that, I'm pretty sure I'm probably on it with that person, unfortunately enough, because it was literally just, it was painful to be a part of. And I'm sure for those who were watching who actually do use it as a tool, they would have found it just as absolutely painful as I was, as I felt experiencing it firsthand. But, you know, and that's the thing. I'm sure there were some people who might have been viewing who then got a bad taste in their mouth.
Oh, sure.
You know, for the tool, or maybe even for me, you know, and for me, that's fine. But as for the tool, I always say, don't knock it till you've rocked it. And that's whether it's, you know, a paranormal tool or, you know, I don't know, a new potato chip, okay? You have to try something in order to determine whether you like it or not or whether it's useful. And then revisit it if you didn't find it useful at that point of your life. That doesn't mean that it's never going to be the case. Just as, you know, Rob learned with dowsing rods, and I did too, because at first I didn't really care for them, but it was whether it was my, you know, me being at a different point of my life where, you know, things started working or the energies or what have you, whatever those determining factors are, you know, give something another opportunity, you know, to try it. And I think that's something that a lot of us forget and are not willing to do. And I think that you might find something that you didn't find useful previously that you might be your go-to thing, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Things will change as we change too. And sometimes you find tools falling away and then you'll gravitate towards others, the same thing you're talking about. But for me, the Ouija board has always been around. I will always, for me, I'm sure I will always use it throughout my whole life. It's been 46 years now I've been using it, and I absolutely enjoy it. And I really, more than anything, I mean, I love using it, but I also love collecting them. As you mentioned, I do have a pretty nice collection, and I keep adding to it. And in that collection, I have a lot of homemade, handmade boards, one of a kind, that people make and send to me. And I just received one recently. It's a gorgeous Luna board. And I do show these boards if anybody wants to see them. I show them either on my website or I in my YouTube channel. I do a lot of – I'll do videos about the different boards I have in too and show them in the background or talk about them. Like I did a video of this Luna board I just got from an artist named Lauren Morris. Shout out to Lauren. Beautiful artistry. But you know, so many people out there nowadays really enjoy just making them and collecting them. And they don't necessarily have to be using them because of the artistry to them. They really are beautiful. They can be.
Yeah, they truly are. They truly are. And I find that most of them that I come across, whether it be, you know, within the paranormal community where people feel that it is the cause of what's ever happening in their house for whatever reason, I get the call, at least locally, and I'm like my house is the graveyard, if you will, of boards because people are like, it caused such turmoil in my home, and I'm like, I'll come get it. You know, so I'm like the, they look at it as, I guess, it's this dummy's problem. But I find them to be absolutely awesome and fascinating. And I have quite the collection of things that other people weren't able to keep in their houses that I have in my house, and it seems just fine. So there's
that. You're
like
the bone collector.
But what I've...
You get
exactly of boards. I'm the board collector of yes. But I've noticed that most of them are just the boards alone, no planchette. And I think it's absolutely funny that for whatever reason the planchette is either, you know, just disregarded as not being, you know, part of the process or whatever the case may be, but most of the boards that I get in my board graveyard here literally are just the boards alone, no planchettes. You know, I don't know what the rationale or reasoning for that might be, but that seems to be the case for me.
Well, at least you're rescuing the boards. I do that sometimes too, and we do the Talking Board Historical Society. People send us their boards all the time, and we'll take them in. And you know, just people that are listening, I have most of my boards are out. I have a mere 45. That's nothing compared to the other collectors. They have over hundreds and hundreds. Robert Murch has over 1,000 boards, and mine are all out around my house. They're hanging on the walls. There's decor. And I got to tell you, I've had no issues whatsoever with them at all. Again, I'm gonna say this again for me. What it's been for me is that it's been my intentions and how I view them. And I view them as a tool, as nothing magical, nothing powerful, nothing, no power over me. I don't give my power over to a board. My power is always in me. And when I sit down at the board, it becomes my permission slip to slip into the realm and communicate.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Most definitely.
And I can tell you, every single collector.
Now, what is the most profound
in the
message?
Historical Society. They don't have problems either. Nobody does. Rick Schreck has hundreds of boards, 120, I think, on his walls in his house. He doesn't ever have a problem. In fact, he welcomes it. He wants to have a sighting or get haunted or something. He wants, and it's not coming. It's not working for him.
Right.
He tries.
Right. I totally get it. Now, what would be the most powerful or profound message that you have ever received while using the board?
Wow, I've received several, and I continue to this day. I'll say this. Let me preface it by this way, and then I'll go tell you about one. But I'll preface by saying every time I sit down at the board now, because of the partner I use and I'm working with, who's really good at using this tool. His name's Rodney, and he's on a lot of the shows on my YouTube channel with me. He's just really good at letting go and allowing it to go. He's gifted. I would say he's a gifted psychic or medium himself, although he wouldn't claim that, but he's very talented allowing the messages to flow, so it's very easy to work with him. So I would say every time I sit down, each message that comes through, I'm just as amazed as the last, and sometimes I'm even topped by the last one, thinking it's never going to be topped. But I will say this, I've had many over the years, but I've had one in particular that will always resonate for me. And I remember it was clear as a bell today, and it's the one where I was in college, and it was really what I would call my turning point with this, using this game toy, and that's what it became, a tool for me. I mean, I was using it and getting great messages when I was in college with deceased people, mostly with the deceased realms, although I use it now to also communicate with angelic beings and ethereal beings and even beyond animal communication, et cetera. I can go way out there with what I can communicate with. Anything that's conscious, you can communicate with. But back then, I was just mostly exploring the deceased because that's what I thought you did with it. So one evening, a bunch of the girls that were down at college with me, and I was in a sorority, and they said, Karen, we really want to understand what it is you're doing. We just don't buy this. I mean, that piece of plastic can spell out letters. You're talking to the dead. I said, yeah, that's what we're doing. I said, you want me to demonstrate and show you? And they said, yeah, sure. You know, they had an open mind. They were open to it, but they were just they're more curious and also thinking this can't work. So I led them down to one of our rooms downstairs. We called our chapter room. And there was like 8 to 10 people. I can't remember the exact number. And then there was myself and my board partner. And then I had a woman, a gal, who was going to be the scribe. Because what I decided to pull at the last minute was that we were going to blindfold ourselves. So my partner, Linda, and myself were blindfolded, sitting at the board. We had the board on our laps. It was her larger board, 601 board, which is a William Fold board. My board was a Parker Brothers board, the smaller one. So mine was a lot littler. Right. We were going to use the big one. So we put it on our laps. We're blindfolded now. I was so confident. So freaking confident in the messages and how they were coming through, and the different beings that were deceased we were communicating with, because I've been talking to them now for several years and regularly, that I thought, you know what, just going to blindfold it. And Linda felt the same way I did too. So with a leap of faith, we put our hands on the planchette. Our other friend took over the writing. When the planchette was going to stop in the letter, she'd write it out, but keep it to herself and not call it the letters. Usually I call it the letters when I do it. And it flew around. The planchette just flew around that board, just really fast, hard enough to keep my fingers on. Linda later said the same thing. I was just trying to stay on for my dear life, following it. And it was at a really pretty fast pace. Although it always worked pretty quickly for us, this was a whole different intensity, and it did not feel like the typical spirits we were in communication with, because this is what I learned to call them over the years is spirit signatures. It's kind of like your finger, it's like your fingerprints. They're everybody's fingerprints unique. Well, everybody's signature of their spirit is unique as well. So I could feel the different energies when they come through and how the planchette moves. It was somebody I had not spoken to before. The planchette stops, and then that's when I ask the gal Dina to go ahead and read what was written. And so she did. And it's amazing to what I couldn't believe was just how quick it came through, but wondering who was this. And one of the gals in the circle was crying. And I said, "Are you okay?" She's like, "Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, go ahead, read it." And so I said, "Oh, okay, Dina, would you please read the message?" And so let me hear, I'm going to get the message here. I'm going to read it to you. I have it verbatim because back in the day, and even to this day still, I keep copious notes in my sessions. And I was keeping it back then mostly in journals, like diaries, but now I keep it in books that are dedicated to my sessions. Message, it said, "Hello, Lindsay. This is your sister. I am fine. Tell Mom and Dad that I am fine. So is my boyfriend. We love you all. We are still with you. We felt no pain and died on impact. The only pain we ever felt was the pain the family felt and expressed at our funerals. We are at peace and feel love. Please do not be concerned about us anymore. Know that we love you and will always be with you. We will be with you again. I love you all." At that moment,
wow,
in that room, there was not a dry eye. We all cried. Nobody said anything. And then finally, I said, "You have a dead sister?" I had no clue she had a dead sister. Only one person in the room knew that. And I was like, I never knew. She said, "It was so painful. She died 3 years ago in a car wreck with a boyfriend that I can't even talk about it." Well, she went home and told her parents. Her parents did know me and knew Linda, and they trusted us. And at that moment, real healing occurred for Lindsay and her family. And I talked to them after all this happened. But everybody in that room left a changed person. The gals that didn't believe didn't want to talk it about again, but nobody ever said, "You're pushing it, you made that up." But we were blindfolded. It was crazy.
Right.
I was flabbergasted myself. I was amazed. And so you can imagine why that was the most probably poignant and turning point for me. And when you ask me what was the session that, you know, was so huge and profound, that would have to be it, because that's when I said, and I even said to the girls there, I said, "Okay, no more fun and games. I don't need to prove anything anymore. This is a tool, guys. This isn't just about talking to the dead. This is about having healing and having opportunities to say your last goodbyes or to know that love endures. It never dies." And I left a changed person.
Wow.
Every single person that rooms up changed. And to this day, one gal who was in that room, she wrote in the back of my book, The Spiritual Ouija, which came out in 2013. So here we are. That was 86 when that happened. All those years later, I said, "What was your most impactful moment with the board?" And she said, that time in the chapter when you two were blindfolded. And she wrote about it in the back of that book, how that changed her views on religion and herself just even questioning what the afterlife was about, did it exist. And so that, to me, that one session makes it all worth it, and that's why I continue to do what I do.
You gave me chills with that. That's absolutely amazing. Like that is what I'm talking about. And I think that, you know, that's where people have been so, you know, caught up in the negative of the board and never really appreciate or hear about the positive. And, you know, that just shows you right there, again, with your intention. And when the message is meant to be, you know, given, it's given, no matter what form, whether you were using that board or whether you were using something else. You know, that message needed to be given. And that,
you know, Nikki, I so concur. And that's why it worked well when we were blindfolded, because this sister who was on the other side transitioned, she wanted, this is her opportunity to say, "Lindsay, I'm okay. I'm here. I'm right here with you. I love you. I'll always be with you. Don't grieve for us. We're happy. We feel love." And that to me just blew me away. It just blew me away, and it changed the whole trajectory of myself with the tool. Not that I was not using it correctly or appropriately, I was, but it really let me go into whole other realms of healing and looking at how can we use this to improve our lives and to help people, not just with death and grief, but exploring the afterlife and that we never die. We just transition forms, period. So it's interesting where it's taken me, and here I am. That was in 86. So here we are, you know, 2019, all these years later, and I'm still using the board on these levels and even grander levels. And in fact, I'm working on this book now with a author in the UK who is an extensive author. She's a best-selling author over there. Her name's Teresa Chiang, and she writes books about the afterlife, about the dreams. She's written like about 60-plus books, and she's not a psychic or medium herself per se. She's intuitive and empathic, but she likes to team up with people who actually are practitioners. So she's teamed up with me. We're writing a book together right now, and it's called The Case for the Afterlife. And my voice is the voice of somebody who uses this tool in this manner to connect with the afterlife for being able helping people to heal from grief and to hear the voices of their loved ones in ways that you just never can imagine. Because as you said, when the message is there to be given, it's going to be given. And sometimes the only opportunity people have is when they do sit down at the board with me. And that was the case with Lindsay.
Wow. I'm blown away. I'm blown away.
I tell you, that's what I'm saying. When I sit down at the board, every session just gets even better. You know, it's like better. Is that the right word? It's just even more profound. Because, you know, now we're working with people's guides. And that could be their deceased pet. That could be, seriously, it sounds strange to even hear myself saying this. It could be their loved one that's their guide. It could be their angel or somebody else, another being from another dimension that, you know, it's whoever loves them the most is there to help them. And that's what's coming through now. And this is what I write about. And this is what I talk about on my channel and YouTube. And it is so profound. And people are getting insight into their life to help them. Help their life to be a little bit more smoother, or just to have an insider knowledge of ways to improve themselves. So it's really about personal empowerment, really. That's what it's about, and that's where this tool has taken me. And that was the moment that when I had great clarity in '86, when the story I just shared, which really put me to where I am now with this tool. And so it doesn't matter what people believe about it, you know, or they'll say, and it won't even matter. And I say, be skeptical, people, when you hear me talk, be skeptical. You know, if it resonates with you, great. If it doesn't, that's fine too, because not everything's going to. I don't take offense at that, because I understand we all have filters of how we view the world, and our filters is what gets in our way and also helps us sort through the world. And so sometimes people's filters are just not going to allow them to hear these stories, and that's fine. And sometimes they will resonate and they want to explore more. But it doesn't matter. What matters is, you know, what do you hear from the messages? What do you hear from the possibilities of the human existence? That's really what matters, and really where you go with it yourself. That's really all that matters. And my message is that we are really empowered beings, that there's so much more to our human existence than we've even been told or taught, and we can explore it and find it. Maybe it is dowsing rods. Maybe it is a K2 meter. Maybe it is just reading books, and maybe it's just having your own experiences or doing dream work. But there's more out there. And if that's what I can help you think about today, that's really what I hope that I can help your audience understand.
Awesome. That's you said it all. You said it all.
So
I
have a question that would be a little bit away from the boards.
Not at all. Go ahead.
So you use the boards, obviously, as we've been talking about for the past 30 minutes. Now, as you know, we investigate the paranormal. Do you go out and do any type of investigating? And if you do, are there devices that you use outside of the board? And are there any devices that you have never tried that maybe you thought or think that maybe aren't useful, but maybe you would turn around and try at some point?
Yeah, absolutely. And I do investigations. And this is the other thing I'll say about spirit. It's non-local. So you don't have to be in that space just to do the investigations. Although I do. I do like to take my board into the space. I will go. But I also will often contact the space before I go there and just communicate with energies that are there. But I enjoy all the tools. I have a lot of friends who have all the different gadgets, and I'll sit there and use them with them. I don't own all those gadgets, but I do really like EVPs. And I'll tell you my most favorite tool of them all is my body, is myself. I can sense energies. I can feel it through my body. And so I like, that's how I always start my investigations, with my own self, my own base reading. How am I feeling before I enter? What do I feel? Where am I picking up sensations? Does it feel different? Does it smell different? Is the temperature different? Do I hear anything? Have I seen anything? And then I, from there I go, and we might use the tools, or I'll use the board, or if I don't use the board, it's my body and those tools. So that's what I like. And I do like using dowsing rods. I think those are fantastic for picking up different energies. I enjoy the Frank's box. I love those radio communications. I really do. And some of the meters, the lights, they're okay. You know, I think that adds to it, because you get the EMF meters or the K2 and all that stuff. But I enjoy the fact that we can take old school with new school and have the high tech there with the barometer of our bodies. I mean, that's what I like to see. And who's getting what? And where are you resonating then? And then does the tool itself, the electronic tool, say the same thing, or does it say something different? And does the Ouija board give you something that's similar? So I really like to use them all and try them all.
Feel,
and I'm open to it.
We use remote psychics on a lot of our investigations.
Ah, excellent.
How do you feel about, do you feel like you could use, say, if it was yourself and your partner using the board at your house or wherever you do it, and someone like Nicole and I were across the country at a location, but yet we did a Skype call or a video call of some sort. Do you feel like you can communicate with the spirits at where we're at with your board?
Absolutely, if they choose to. Absolutely. We've done that before. If they choose, and I always say it's always free will, if they choose to, and they've come through, and other times, I'll tell you what happens. If they don't come through, what happens is our guides, that I call them the guides, they're ethereal beings. They'll come through and even moderate, or one of the angels who works with the deceased or transition will come through and maybe moderate or give a message. We do readings like this all the time around the world through Skype, and we also do them with people. We do live sessions through radio shows sometimes, or shows like this. I went and did the Salo Drive, where the murders happened, Sharon Tate, Jay Sebring, and all those people. And we tapped into them before we even left my home. And then we went up there to Salo Drive and then got even more information, and then came back and spoke with them a little bit more back again at my house. So we've been known to do that. I typically, before I go to an investigation, I'm getting ready to do one in Missouri in December, that I will sit down with my partner, and we will get some messages or see what we can get about the location before we even go there, to see what I can get from their perspective, and then we'll all go there and do my own stuff when I'm there. So yeah, this is the way I like to do it. I like to check in. I didn't understand this early on when I was doing this work back in the 80s and 90s. This is something that's more in the last 20 years, I would say, that I've discovered, or 25 years. About half my life of doing this board. In the last probably 25, 24 years, I've learned that you could do this stuff. It's just been a progression for me of learning how far I can push the boundaries of this tool. Really, it's pushing the boundaries of myself. So I have to, some reason the board lets me let go, and I don't worry, I don't second guess it, I don't question it. And so it allows me just to slip even easier into those realms. And so it's like the board becomes my remote viewer in a way. That's what it becomes. Mm-hmm. It's no different than doing remote viewing, but I'm on a board. It just becomes my excuse to do that. Or a psychic or mediumship reading is what it is. So, yes, that's how we like to work.
Well, and it's interesting.
The reason why
I brought that up is we've done the same location over and over. And we get, especially myself, I get a certain response every time I go to this particular building. And it's only me. And we have been withholding the evidence from doing it nationally because it was for a television program. So no one knows.
Got
that. So it would be interesting to set something up with you for even a minimal amount of time. And I would be baffled. Like, if you were to get the words that I get every time I go there, and I think that there would be no I would have no explanation, and I think I would not be able to explain how you would, the words would come through on the board that I get every time I go
very,
there.
You'd be very interesting to see. We're definitely down for stuff like this. I mean, this is part of, like, we call it evidential mediumship. I mean, it's great to have the replicable information that comes through. So yeah, we're always down for stuff like this, mm-hmm. because I think it's not so much to prove anything. It's really just to explore ourselves. I this is what I consider what I'm doing with the board. I don't have all the answers. I can tell you that, because every time I think I understand something, something new comes in into the picture when I'm doing this work or using this tool.
Mm-hmm.
And so I love it, because I consider myself just exploring and discovering the possibilities again of the human existence. And what does that entail? Not just in our bodies here, when we're corporeal existence, but in another dimension, what's happening there. I've got some really cool stuff, some stuff I'm working on right now. I don't want to disclose it, but it's mind-blowing, and it's going to be in that afterlife book I'm writing about. And I'm also writing another book about consciousness and communicating with all different types of consciousness, because I find that through this journey, it's crazy. It's amazing what kinds of information we've been able to gather and different conversations we've been able to have, just by pushing the boundaries of consciousness. And so, yeah, we're all about exploring and discovering, you know, and trying such things.
Well, I think we should do it now, because now I'm excited. I would like to
to
set that up.
We're excited. I'm always excited about this stuff. It's, when people are serious about doing this and they want to explore, and, I mean, that's what life's about. Not even on a board. This is what life is about, to just – really get to know your surroundings, get to know you. Why are we here? What's our purpose?
Mm-hmm.
What's this all about? And so when you guys do investigations, that's what you're exploring, really. What is this all about? How can this energy still be here if it is? I want to find out if it is. You know, it's that curiosity. And so this is beautiful. This is what I get excited about myself.
Well, and I think the fact that we have documented the fact that these certain words will come up only for me would be the key point for me. Even, you know, it's not like, hey, we went to this place one time and one time I got this, let's see if it comes through. I mean, it's to the point where it's like, I don't know how many times, but it's five or six or seven, you know, it's. And Nicole actually gets mad, because she's like, it doesn't talk to me. I don't get it. You know, and
it ignores my existence.
That's okay. It could be a message just for Rob. I totally get it. You know, it's somebody that's probably, I don't know what it is, really. I'll say an energy that's more, that can relate to Rob, maybe, and it's better for it to come through him. So we don't understand all this sometimes, you know. It's just, I find it fascinating myself. That's very fascinating.
Definitely.
Yeah, so
that would definitely
it would blow my mind if you were to get the exact words, because it's you know, exact
words. It would blow my
mind every single time.
Trust me. My mind's blown every time I do these sessions, I'm telling you. It would blow my mind if we do. I'll be like, what? But I'm like that every time. I'm like, what? They just said that. I mean, we're getting messages that they tell us about science before it's even proven with science, and it comes out later, like the same week, or we get like a day early. I'm like, what? I mean, this stuff just goes on and on. It's just mind-blowing. No, it's crazy. And then we go look up stuff. I will get words that my partner, I don't know. We have a pretty good vocabulary. And I have to say Rodney's very, very intelligent man. His vocabulary's probably a lot better than mine. And mine's pretty good. But we got a word the other day. I had to go. It was triumvirate. Triumvirate. I didn't even know that word. Triumvirate. I'm like, what is this? We both got to look it up. I know the word triumph, but what's virate? And it totally made sense to the context. And there was another word that came through. I was like, I don't really know that word either, or a word I wouldn't use. But we get that a lot, and I have to go look these words up, and I'm like, what? You know, so anything like this, it'll blow my mind too, trust me. It just never ceases to amaze me when we, not just with the board, but any of us start reaching into these realms and start getting such things as you're talking about, Rob, something that you hear again and again, or somebody else can't get, or something that's just peculiar, or you could look it up in it, or a message for somebody, it means the world to them, because it's like again, evidential mediumship. You get something that's really straightforward for that person, specific for that person, you know. That is amazing to me, that there's this kind of connection and communication and communion that can happen across time and space, you know. And it's outside of our continuum, what we know. That's just fascinating to me.
Well, and I think the fact that you guys wouldn't know, and even you talk about consciousness and everything else. So let's say Nicole and I were to do a session, we both know. So then are we somehow, maybe are we leading the answers? You know, for if you guys don't know anything, that would prove even more to me, because, you know, when you're talking about consciousness and stuff, maybe somehow if her and I are doing it, we know the answer already. So maybe that somehow it's tied in. But with the fact that you guys
would you can't rule that out, Rob. You're absolutely right. You see, the thing is, so we're sitting there in that room with my friend Lindsay, who I didn't know she had a dead sister. Maybe she wanted a message so badly for her sister, she influenced the plaque to move. But the fact that that message came through so specific for her, really didn't matter how it came through. Because what it did is affected great change in her life and healing, you see. So I don't question, is it
right.
Your motor? Is it just me being a psychic? I don't even want to claim that. Is it me being a medium? I don't want to claim that either. It's just me being an operator, a channel of this instrument, and really allowing whatever needs to connect, and however it needs to connect. And I'm not going to rule anything out. So it could be you guys influencing.
Mm-hmm.
If we get exactly what you're saying. It could be that, you know, your woo-woo waves are hitting my woo-woo waves, and all of a sudden it's influencing the planchette. I don't know, but
right.
Isn't it cool if that could
right.
happen? Yeah, yeah.
Exactly.
That's amazing. That's
awesome.
And that would tell me there's a connection on some level we can't even explain, and then it makes me want to go explore further. So I don't know how all this works. I really
exactly.
don't. The guys explain it to me a little bit. They say your energy connects with your partner's energy, and then it reaches out, and it connects with our energy. We're at a different frequency, but our frequencies match, and then all of a sudden through your intentions we can communicate. I'm like, okay, cool. Okay, cool, great.
Right.
So they come through, and so okay. So are they influencing it through their mind? Am I influencing it through my mind? It doesn't matter. The messages are beautiful. They're poignant. They're specific. They help people, and that's what it is. And so this is why this tool has been so fabulous for me. And people go, oh, if bad things happen. I go, well, that's you don't have to have that to happen. You can change that
exactly.
by changing yourself and how you approach this tool. Yeah. Yeah. So that's all I'm here to say. Is like
yeah.
we can have the kind of experience we want to have doing any of this kind of work. It's what we bring
mm-hmm.
to the table when we do it, and we can shift that ourselves. And so that's really what we're doing. And I don't know.
Exactly.
I can't tell you how it all works. Mm-hmm.
I can't either, but I can tell you that's 100% truth, because if you go in looking for something that is dark, negative, and nasty, that's what you're going to
mm-hmm.
find. And
you
if you look for something. Exactly.
Yeah, they're there.
Exactly. Yep. Whether
so
or not that face had those
have...
energies before, you will attract them because that is what you are
that's
looking
right.
to find. Mm-hmm.
And you guys, we live in a dual.
We should do this every week.
Yeah, no, seriously. We live in a world of dualism. That's a human nature.
Mm-hmm.
It's good, it's bad, it's positive, it's negative, it's yin, it's yang. So wherever you go, everything's
mm-hmm.
not all airy fairy, everything is also deep and dark. And so you
mm-hmm.
live in this perpetual continuum, and you've got to find your
mm-hmm.
place where you balance. You're going to go back and forth between both sides of this continuum, but it's a matter of where are you going to gravitate when you want to reach into these realms. Where are you going to go more to this side, which you can? I'm not against any of this. Are you going to go to this side? I'm
mm-hmm.
not against, I'm not for, I'm what I'm for is empowering the person, empowering myself
mm-hmm.
and empowering people that are going to be around me when I use this tool to assist them, or even when I teach to use this tool. That's what I'm really about, empowerment. So, but how you do it is how you do it. There's negative, there's positive to every given situation. Even to a story somebody tells, oh my God, he did this to me, and he's like, well, she did this to me. There's two sides of the story always. There's two sides to a coin. So you want
yep.
to find that energy, you're going to get it. If you want to find something else, you will get that as well. You could find both in the same space. It's just what Nikki just said. It's
mm-hmm.
a matter of just how this third dimension works.
Yep. I love it.
It's crazy. It's crazy stuff, you guys. It really is. It's like I said, you asked my most profound story. I shared that one that really is. So
mm-hmm.
more that that's why I keep writing books. There's just so much to share, because the more I get into this, it's like the deeper down the rabbit hole I go, and it's a beautiful rabbit hole. Let me tell you that. It's crazy cool. That's what I have to say about it. It's just amazing.
I love this. Awesome.
Well, I think I will send you a message and let you know the next time we're going to be there. And it's
okay.
coming up. We're actually
going to
be there this weekend. So
mm-hmm.
I don't know what you have planned, if you have
yeah.
5 minutes this weekend, but we'll be there.
Well, this weekend, Rob, I have Ouija Zilla, which I'd love to tell your audience about a little bit if I can, a little bit. But
no,
I'll be in Salem,
yeah,
Massachusetts
yeah.
this weekend. But I have to plan in advance. My partner travels a lot for business, so we'd have to know like a month or two in advance. Like we booked out the Halloween show we do every year. a year in advance. Because
mm-hmm.
our schedules are actually a lot for I'm talking and touring and traveling a lot with the books and everything I'm doing right now. And then my partner has mm-hmm. a real job, like day job, and he is traveling a lot too. So we have to do it way in advance. So we're going to have to like say, okay, in November, you know, December, you know, that kind of thing. Can mm-hmm. I tell everybody about Ouijazilla? Would that be cool?
Please.
Yes. Go right ahead.
Okay. So, yeah, thank you. So the Talking Board Historical Society, which I'm a director of at this time, we have the world's largest Ouija board. And our vice president, Rick Morris Schreck, he's the brainchild of it, created it, painted it, made it. This board, you guys, is big enough to park five 18-wheelers on it, side to side.
Wow.
It's longer than a brontosaurus. It weighs more than an elephant in Africa. It weighs 10,000 pounds. And as I speak to you right now, I just spoke to Rick right before I got on the phone with you guys because I'm flying out to Salem to be a part of this. And I'll tell you about the time and the date, you guys. I want you to get an idea of how big this board is. It is the world's record. The current world's record is on top of a hotel. It's small. This is at least 3 to 4 times the size of that. I'm not going to tell the exact size because I want people to come out and see it. But what happened is Ripley's, believe it or not, got involved. They were over with Rick at his studio or his garage where he's been creating this monstrosity of a beast. This is what we call it Ouijazilla because it's like Godzilla. It's so huge. Anyway, they have a huge flatbed truck. I've seen it. It's all packed up in it. It weighs, like I said, 10,000 pounds. The plant shed is 15 feet long in itself, has ball-bearing wheels. It moves around. But we're gonna reveal it on the 12th, this Saturday, October 12th, at 1:00 in Salem Common, which is right next door to the Haunted Hawthorne Hotel off of Essex Street. So if you guys want to come out, we'll be there at 1:00 this Saturday, the 12th. And it will. We think we may have it there through Sunday. We have a permit to do it, I think, 24 hours. So we're going to push that as much as we can, and then we're going to take it down. But we have a feeling, because of all the publicity that this board is getting, and it's going to be a big event, that people are going to want to start paying to ship it around the United States. There's been some talk, and I don't want to say too much right now. But coming out, Rick Schreck's going to be the creator. You can meet him and his family. He's from the House of Schreck. He's the real life Addams family. They really, truly are. This is not a game. That's how they live. They look just like the Addams family. They're going to be there. I'll be there. John Kozak, who's the treasurer of the Talking Board Historical Society, will be there. He has the Salem Witchboard Museum, you guys, which just opened the end of August. That's right kitty corner down the street from where we're going to be. Go see the Witchboard Museum. It's beautiful, all these really cool boards and planchettes. The Talking Board Historical Society, also this month in Salem, has an exhibit at the Salem a visitor center, and that's for free. You go in there, and it's all about the Ouija board that was made actually in Salem, which is the Parker Brothers board. And there's all kinds of pictures and boards to give you some history about it. And also Calvin Von Krush, he's also a director at the Talking Board Historical Society. He's the occult collector, and he's also on. He has a show on VidiSpace. You can watch all their shows on Amazon Prime. But anyway, a lot of us will be there. Unfortunately, Robert Murch cannot be there. I think many of you people out there know, and I know you too know about his back surgeries and all that. He's very disappointed, mm-hmm. but he'll be with us in spirit. But, yeah, come on out. We're going to be there. It's going to be a great time. And if you can't be there, we will be posting, and I'm going to be filming. I'll put some stuff on YouTube. We'll be making videos and stuff. And like I said, Ripley's is there, and it's just going to be a great event. And we'll get some aerial shots, too, because this board is huge. And by the way, it's to scale.
Wow.
It's to scale, and the board that Rick fashioned it after is the 1998 glow-in-the-dark board, which many of you guys have. So it's going to be fun.
Wow. That's awesome. I was in Salem last weekend. Look at that. I was there
dang
the
it.
Wrong weekend.
Oh, my gosh. Dang it. Okay.
I know.
You know, it's never a wrong weekend in Salem. You guys know this because it's like it's October. Mm-hmm. It's the Halloween month. So it's always fun. Did you go by? Mm-hmm. Did you see the Salem Witchboard Museum? Did you get a chance to see that?
I didn't. I actually went to help a friend with things at her house. So I didn't get to go really do my whole Salem trip that, you know, I did before. So I'm going to have to go back, obviously, at some point and check that out for sure. That sounds awesome.
Well, the Salem Witchboard Museum is a regular feature now. It's at the store. It's the back room of the store called Remember Salem. I think they also call it the Harry Potter store. Has a lot of Harry Potter stuff in it.
Yes.
And it's called Remember Salem. It's on Essex Street, right across from the Hawthorne Hotel. But go back there. John's there. It's open like every day at 10 or it's 11 till 8 at night, every single day. It'll be there all year round. And then, but the visitor center with this, the special TBHS thing we did on Parker Brothers, that's only going to be there for the month of October. And we just have it for a month. And we just know it's only going to be for Saturday and into Sunday, and that's it. So there's cool stuff there. There's a lot of stuff to see in Salem. So it'll be come on out. If you guys are there, come on out, say hello. Be there at 1 o'clock, you know, Salem Common, you guys. I'd love to meet you. Tell us that you heard us on the show. Give a shout out to Rob and Nikki and their great show here.
Yeah.
So anyway, but thank you guys for letting me share that because this is a big event. We've been planning it for a year now, and we finally – we're able to start talking about it in the last couple of months. And Rick has been really, I mean, he's the creative genius behind this, and he's really been working behind the scenes nonstop. So it's going to be cool.
That's absolutely awesome. That sounds great. Before we go, can you tell everyone your YouTube channel so they can check out your YouTube videos and such?
Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much. So you guys, anywhere, Karen A. Dahlman, put that A in there, Karen A. Dahlman on YouTube. Just look that up. You'll find my channel. I think I have 206 or 208 videos now all about the Ouija board or about other people I interview who tap into the unseen dimensions in their own unique way. And so you'll find a variety of topics on there about doing this kind of stuff we're talking about. Of course, I do a lot of Ouija board, most of my stuff about the Ouija board. And then you'll see also my partner and I where we do live shows on there, and you can watch them. And then also, you guys, also my website, KarenADahlman.com. Go there. I have a newsletter where I announce a lot of things, what's coming up with TBHS, what's coming up with my schedule of talking or books. And then also, of course, I've been talking about the Ouija Zilla on there and anything else that's coming up. You'll get the skinny on it and the world of Ouija if you join me on my website. So, but thank you both.
Very good. I'm heading over there right now.
Appreciate it. Oh, good. Excellent.
Thank you so much. Yeah.
It's a treat to talk to you guys again, and it has been too long, but I was really happy to talk to you at OujaCon. So that's cool.
Yeah,
well, I appreciate
you calling
in.
Yeah,
thank you.
And I know
thank
Rob is
very
going
much.
To be contacting you in regards to that, you know, that project. So without a doubt, I know him. He will be contacting you. But again,
thank you for being
on our show tonight.
Oh, you're very welcome. We'd like a good experiment. We'll just plan it out in advance, and if you give me some dates, then I can run by my partner, and we can see what will work, and then we'll get, you know, we'll make something happen because it sounds exciting. So thank
you
both again very much.
Good.
Yes.
All right,
thank you. You have a wonderful night and safe travels.
Thank you, guys. Okay, good night. Bye,
thank
everybody.
You. Good night.
Bye.
All right, well, everyone, thank you for tuning in tonight to Live Paranormal Spotlight Radio. We will be back again next week with another fascinating guest, same time, same place.
You got it.
Have a wonderful evening, friends. Good night.
Bye.